so much that God has already been saying, and one of the things is linked to this new series that we're launching today. The title of this series is Viral, and with what Bruno brought, you get the sense that God is doing something viral in this day and age, something that is growing, something that is exponential. And through this morning's passage and this morning's message, I'd love each one of us to lean in and hear about this viral thing that God is doing. And it has something to do with new life. And God is birthing new life. And there's a congregational or church application of that, which I'll bring during the course of this morning's message, that I think affects every single one of us. But there's also an individual application that actually it's difficult for me to articulate for you as an individual from this stage, but that's actually between you and your Creator, the one who made you. And that's a beautiful, intimate communication. And one of the first pictures we see in the Bible of the Holy Spirit being at work is the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters. And He's hovering right here, right now in this place, so eager to bring new life. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came that you may have new life and life in all of its abundance. So I'm going to pray for us, ask for God's help, and I'd love you to pray with me. God, we thank you that you love to speak. Thank you for that from Genesis chapter 1 of the story you tell us. We hear you as a God who speaks, and with that, there comes this light, there comes this life, and we experience, we're caught up in the creativity of an eternal God. And now, God, as we open up your word this morning, I pray for your help as I speak. I pray for our help as we turn our ears towards heaven. God, I pray that you'd speak so clearly. And I pray that as you speak, it wouldn't be just us seizing the day, or even better yet, us seizing eternity. But God, we want to take that one step further and say, God, as we sit under your word, may eternity lay hold of us wherever we are on our spiritual journey, and bring us closer to you and deeper into what you've called us to. And everyone said, great. So we're starting a series called Viral, and you'll just have to trust me that it'll kind of become more evident why that is during the course of this message and over the coming weeks. But we're going to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 11. So please turn there if you have your Bibles. If you don't, most of the key verses for this morning are up on the screen. It's great to be here, by the way. My name is Mbonisi, and I'm one of the pastors here at One Tribe. If you're new here, a special welcome to you. I want to add my welcome to the welcome you've already received. I slipped in late because from 9 o'clock we had our Pamoja course for people who are wanting to get more involved at One Tribe and learn more about who we are, where we're going, where we're coming from. And if you haven't done that yet, I recommend that to you. We'll have another one coming up in a few weeks' time. But I'm usually there from 9 until about 10 past 10 when it happens. And then it was just so great to catch the vibe of what God was doing during worship. But we're in Genesis chapter 11. And this is, I think, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it goes a little something like this. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Shinar is in a basin between two rivers. You might have heard of them, called the Tigris and the Euphrates. You can picture it nestled between these two rivers, Shinar. It's just one of those kind of places. They settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Now, they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Now, that may not sound very impressive to you, but in those days, that was cutting-edge technology. Think 5G, think high-definition television, think that kind of thing. To be able to build, not just getting stones and cutting them, but to be able to build and have kilns and bake these bricks, this was cutting edge. Then they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Watch this now. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth. And they stopped building the city. That's why it's called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Familiar story. If you grew up in church, you probably heard that in Sunday school. Not very easy to understand. What do you take away from that story? God hates buildings. God doesn't like it when united people do things. Thanks, Daniel. Kind of flight safety check from our resident pilot. I love it. Thank you. From this story, I want to draw out three very common mistakes. And chances are you or I or we are veering towards one of these stakes right now, these mistakes, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. The first one relates particularly to people who are not yet followers of Jesus, but it could relate to anyone. The second one relates to actually just about anyone on the planet. And the third, again, could relate to everyone, but in some ways zeroes in on a mistake that many churches make. Three problems with Babel. Then after that, we're going to look at three things we need to do in response to that. Number one, what was the problem with Babel? Why did God come down and destroy it? Is it because he doesn't like buildings? He doesn't like cities? He doesn't like people planning together? None of the above. There were three problems with Babel, and the first one is this. In Babel, they were reaching towards the heavens. In fact, the word Babel in the Akkadian language came to mean gateway to the gods. And in that time and over the coming centuries, Babel and the empires around it became known for building what were known as ziggurats. These were very tall mountain-like buildings that were made with no rooms or corridors inside. Their primary purpose was to connect heaven to earth. That's what the towers, the ziggurats in those days were for, and that's what the tower in this city was for. It was to connect earth to heaven. What's your idea of heaven? Our culture creates a picture for us of what heaven should be like, and man, it sells it to you. It might be heaven would be like if you had this kind of body, and this is how you get there. Heaven would be like if you had this much in your bank account, if you lived in this kind of house, if you were getting ahead in your career. All of these things for us become what we attain to, what we strive for, where we get our identity, belonging, and purpose. And from the beginning of this story, even going back before Genesis 11, we hear stories of mankind trying to get to heaven, trying to get to God. That was the first mistake. The serpent came and said, if you do this, you will be like God. And that's why Adam and Eve reached for that apple. Eve took it and gave it to Adam, who was with her at the time. She wanted to be like God in her own way. And then later on, we hear this blurring of the lines between heaven and earth where it's hard to understand, but somehow the sons of God were united themselves with the daughters of men. And strange things happen, but soon after that, we see the judgment of God because mankind has a tendency to want to get to heaven, to want to be with God, perhaps to even want to be God. And heaven doesn't like that. One Bible scholar said this, God blocks. And you've got to understand this, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, God blocks all attempts to get to heaven that don't include faith. How are you trying to get to heaven? Here's one mistake even believers make. As we give our lives to Jesus, we ask Him to forgive us of our sins. But then we think that to stay saved, to be very sure of our place in heaven, it's all about good behavior, good works. And so we get saved by believing in Jesus plus nothing. But then we want to carry on building our own tower to heaven that's made of good works. Is that your plan? If so, it's not a good plan according to the Bible. Because since the Garden of Eden until today, God blocks all attempts to get to heaven that don't include, that don't involve faith in Jesus plus nothing. I love what a guy called David Platt said. He said, I was in another country recently and I was sitting outside a temple with two other guys, actually from different religions. They were talking about how all three of our religions were fundamentally the same, just kind of superficially different. Finally, this is David Platt says, finally I spoke up and said, it's almost like you guys picture God or whatever you want to call Him at the top of a mountain, and we're all at the bottom of the mountain. I might take this path up and you might take that path up, but in the end, we'll all be in the same place. And he says, and these other two guys, they smiled and they said, exactly, you understand. I looked back and I said, well, what if I told you that the God at the top of the mountain didn't wait for us to find our way up to Him? But He actually came down to where we are. Well, they said, well, that would be great. And I said, this is the difference. What we find in the Bible is the story of a God who has not left us alone to try find our way to Him. He has come to us and He has made the way to Himself through Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is what you will not find anywhere else on the planet apart from in the living and breathing church of Jesus Christ. Babel was a story of we're going to get our way to heaven. And there are all kinds of slogans you can use for that. You can say, oh man, we in Zimbabwe we used to say, we will never be a colony again. For us, that was heaven. Didn't turn out so well. In Kenya, we might say, Harambe! Forward, where to better places. Politicians will tell us about the promised land. It's up there, and we'll go there if we vote right or act right or do right. The American spirit says, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. I am the captain of my own soul. Harambe, doomed. Never a colony again, doomed. Nothing to fear but fear itself. We're going to put a man, doomed. As far as heaven is concerned. Because heaven's plan was never that we build our own way back into God's good books, back into God's presence. God's plan was always not earth up, but heaven down. That's the difference. That's what separates Christianity from every other religion, and that's what separates gospel Christianity from every other fake version of Christianity out there, is it's not earth up. It has to be, it can only be, from Babel until today, heaven down. That's why God's answer wasn't man build the biggest tower that you can. Do you see the irony in the story, by the way? Oh, we've got cutting edge technology. It's called bricks. Okay. And oh, we're going to build ourselves a tower. We've got teams. We've got organization. We I don't think they had spreadsheets. Maybe they had spread tablets back then. We've got spread clay tablets to write on. And we're going to build a tower that reaches all the way up into the heavens. Are you with me? Do you know what? I'm putting it all out there this morning. Maybe I should just sit down and relax. Just see what happens. Spectator sport. Okay, here we go. Two of you are. And we're going to do this. We're going to build the greatest tower ever. And mankind said, whoa! Do you know what the Bible says? You know that tower that's going to make its way up to heaven? God says, hey guys, they're building a tower. But if we're even going to see it, we're going to have to go down there. God comes down from heaven. Just tell us about this tower. We say things like, oh, the Great Wall of China. It can be seen from space. Isn't that great? The Great Wall of China can be seen from space. Well, not from most of space. It can't. And the things that we feel are so great, the things that we feel will get us into heaven, our greatest efforts are so puny that as Psalm 2 says, the King of Heaven laughs and he has to come down with a heavenly microscope to see this tower that men are building. If you're trying to work your way into God's presence, into God's good books, that is the worst way to get yourself to where you want to get to. That's why God made a better plan, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible says the word, that's heaven, took on flesh, that's earth. You see, what they wanted at Babel, the gate of the gods, was a place where heaven and earth could meet. And God said, tower, nice idea, but not really. A better idea is for God to make himself man in the second person of the Trinity. And not to just visit down the steps of the ziggurat. But John tells us that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's the good news, friends. That's the first mistake of Babel. The second mistake, the second problem with Babel. It's all there in verse 4 if you're tracking along, but the second mistake was they said, let's build a tower that's going to reach up to the heavens. We're going to get to heaven under our own steam. Second mistake is they say, and while we're doing that, actually it's pretty cool because we get to make a name for ourselves. Have you ever made a name for yourself? I've made a name for other people. Like naming our kids was a big deal. Big responsibility as a parent. How many of you like your names, by the way? Most of you do. Parents did a pretty good job. When I was growing up, you needed to be really cool, you had to give yourself a name. And so in my teen years, I gave myself a name at school. I had a friend, one friend, his name was Velimpini, and he called himself Easy V. And it was cool back then. I picked, because my surname is Malaba, so I picked the Mao Man. Huh? Well, I went to boarding school, so I had a tuck shop, I had a tuck box, and it was for feeding me, and so I called it the malnutrition. It doesn't usually go so well when you try and give yourself a name. Beautiful story I heard just this morning in Pamoja. Met a lady we'd met once before at our Easter event this year. And I said to her, "What's your name?" And she said, "Naserian." And I said, what does that mean? And she says, "Well," because you see, with a name, there's often a story. Make a name for ourselves, there's often a story behind that. And she said, "Well, I was born premature. I was what they call a blue baby because I wasn't breathing well. And so they put me straight into the neonatal intensive care unit. And my dad would come and visit my mum who was still in the hospital. And my mum always knew that my dad had passed by the neonatal intensive care unit on the way to seeing the mother. And so the mum would ask, how is she? And his answer would always be, she as well. And in Maasai, you say that, Naserian, she as well. Isn't that a beautiful story? It's not a bad thing to want to have a name. In fact, we're in Genesis 11. In Genesis 12, God actually says to Abraham, I'm going to give you a great name. And that's what you've got to understand about these three problems. It's not necessarily wanting bad things. Wanting to be with God in heaven is not a bad thing, but how you go about it makes all the difference. Having a great name isn't a bad thing, but how you go about it makes all the difference. And the problem with Genesis is Genesis 11 is that they said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. And it's that same spirit, because you see, up until now in the Bible, you never make a name for yourself. You are given a name as a gift. A name is important. It speaks about identity. It speaks about how, about who you are. And at Babel, they said, actually, we're going to make a name for ourselves. And they ended up wanting to name themselves the Gateway to the Gods. What name do they end up getting? Babel. What does Babel mean? It means nonsense. It means we don't understand. It means confusion in the Hebrew language. They wanted a great name like the Gateway to the Gods. Now, our last verses this morning say actually what they got was they got the nickname Forever Confusion. If I say to you Babel, first thing that comes to mind is nonsense, confusion. And that's what happens when we try to make a name for ourselves. And thirdly, the third mistake is this community chose security over scattering. There was a desire to gather in one place in contrast to God's command. Check out Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God says then, he blesses mankind. That's his heart for you and I. And he says, be fruitful and increase in number. The heart of that is go, fill the earth. And even when mankind messes everything up, the same word comes again in Genesis chapter 9. God says to Noah and his sons, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Now, fun fact, when God made man and woman, he said, come, let us make man in our image as mankind. If you can hear the sound of my voice, you are made in the image of God. And image meant a lot of things in that culture, but one of the things that it meant was if a god, a deity, whether it was talking about the true God or false gods, if that God had an image, wherever that image was staked out territory for that God and a place where that God rules and is worshipped. And so when God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, go fill the earth, you are my image bearers, he was saying, wouldn't it be awesome if planet Earth was covered with the image of an invisible God? Go and be that image. Go fill the earth with my glory by filling the earth with my image. That is what you are called to. But in Genesis 11, mankind said, fill the earth with God's image. Nice idea, but not really. Wouldn't it be better? Because it's rough out there. Wouldn't it be better if we made a city? Because, you know, cities have like walls to keep bad people out. Cities have numbers. So if guys want to come attack us, chances are we'll be okay. This community chose security because scattering, as God had said, was risky. But friends, there's a title for this morning's message. It's this: we were made to multiply. You've seen that in Genesis 1, go fill the earth. We've seen it in Genesis 9, go fill the earth, multiply. Couple of chapters from now, Genesis 13, 16, God says to Abraham, I love this. I will make your offspring, that's all those who believe in God, who trust in him through faith, I'll make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. And then I think Abraham didn't get it. So God took him again and he said to him, Abraham, I think this is God's word to us this morning. Look up at the sky. Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. God is a God who wants to see his image multiplied, who wants the special places of his presence to be multiplied across the earth. And that's his call on everyone who follows him. And that's his call on us as a church. But friends, so often we choose security. We choose the way things are. We think, hey, this mission business, it's risky out there. But friends, from Genesis until today, we were made to multiply. Three mistakes they made at Babel. Number one was reaching to the heavens. Anyone can make that mistake, the wrong way of getting back to God. It's never earth up, it's always been heaven down. And if you're not yet a Christ follower this morning, the fact that you are here today, the fact that you can hear my voice on whatever media this is on, is evidence that the God of heaven is coming for you and looking for you. Second mistake was the desire to make a name for ourselves. Oh, we want to be the church with the best worship out there. We want to be the church with the best preaching on TikTok. Now, good preaching, good worship, good kids' church, none of those are bad things. But they should never be where we get our name from. And may God protect us from that. oh, I don't want a name I've earned for myself. I want a name given from above. And God protect us from choosing security. Don't you just love the city? Don't you just love Nairobi? Don't you just love that you can flick a light switch and the electricity is there? Don't you just love it that if you're hungry, you can step outside and it's unlikely that there won't be a dukkah or a shopping mall within close by? Just love the city. But friends, it's okay to love the city, but in our hearts, we must always be a scattered people. In our hearts, our priority must never be our security. Our priority must be, but God is scattered. And we live and die to see the earth covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. And that happens as his people scatter. Three things we do in response to this morning's story. I'm going to draw these three things from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Moses speaking, he says, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp. Advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah.'" Do you see? It's echoes of Babel again. Oh, so much has happened. God's people have flourished through Abraham. They've gone into Egypt following Joseph, and they've mushroomed in Egypt. They were oppressed. They've been taken out by the blood of the Lamb. And now God is speaking to his people. And what does he say? He says, "My people, go. Territory of the Amorites, neighboring peoples, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in. Take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them." What does this mean for you and I, friends? Three things we're drawing out from these verses. Break camp, advance, take possession. Number one is one tribe. It's time for us to break camp. Just thinking about these verses, I thought they're so interesting. If God was as efficient as modern man, he might have just said, advance. Because you can't advance without breaking camp. Does that make sense? You've got to go. It's like saying, don't stay. Go. Well, you could just say go. But the first step is breaking camp. Breaking camp means letting go of the way things are and refusing to settle for the status quo, regardless of how comfortable and convenient it is. Before you go, God says, "Yeah, but you need to break camp." And I can imagine maybe Caleb and his wife had their nice camp in the presence of God. God is here. Moses is here. And maybe they'd have picked just the right place for their tent, huh? They'd have fashioned their own toilet, just the right place. They'd have spread nice blankets in their tent. They knew all the nice places to find water. Maybe they were quite comfortable in their camp. And God says, "I'm not against comfort, but Caleb and Mrs. Caleb, you were made to go. So break camp." He says, "You've stayed long enough on this mountain." And for us, One Tribe, here's the news. It seems to us that the mountain, if you like, of being in one meeting at Das Bayern, it's good. Nothing wrong with it. But there's a sense of we have stayed long enough on this mountain. Remember, we're called to multiply gospel-centered, spirit-empowered missional churches in Nairobi and beyond. A step towards that, the first kind of breaking camp, if you like, is on the 24th of September, we are no longer going to meet as one meeting on a Sunday morning at Das Bayern. We will still be at Das Bayern, but we're going to move from one meeting to two meetings on a Sunday at Das Bayern. And this involves every single one of us, to some degree, breaking camp, letting go of what's familiar. There are some signs and indicators that actually we've stayed long enough at this mountain. One of them is this hall has space for, I don't know, I think the lease says 260 people. With kids, we've been just under that this time last year, and I think just over that at times this year. And as we project, as we look at graphs and try and understand how has the church grown, how will the church grow, it may well be that we are over 300 people with kids in the coming months. The challenge for us is not just to think, moving from one to two meetings, how will this affect my comfort levels? Will I still get all the things that I've been used to? No, team, those are security questions. Not bad questions, but shouldn't be the primary questions. The primary question is, will this help us to reach more people for Jesus, so they can be restored in his image and go out and find other people to be restored in his image? Will it help with that? Yes? No further questions, Your Honor. As human beings, it's natural that the first questions we ask are, how will this affect me? And those aren't bad questions, but they shouldn't be the most important questions. The most important question is, how will this affect those who haven't yet encountered Jesus Christ in this city, in Nairobi, and beyond? And I was in a staff meeting, and I don't know where Rose is, but we said to Rose, how are you doing with this idea of moving to two meetings? And then she just started to preach. And it was the kind of thing that made me want to get up and dance, which I will do, but you guys are still struggling with the amen, so I'm going to keep that in the bag for a little bit. What she basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, she said, man, when people come to this church, they encounter the living God. I've spoken to visitors who have come to me afterwards and said, that worship, and they pointed at this gathering, and they said, that God lives there. And I think, friends, we need more of that, not less. I've had people come, and they've said to us after a few weeks, they said, I came to One Tribe, and I've been looking for a church for a long time. And they said, after coming to One Tribe, that was the first Sunday since arriving in Nairobi, but I went home and didn't weep because of loneliness. And friends, when I hear that, I think we need more of that. And that only became possible because people from different places and different times scattered to the city of Nairobi and said, God, would you build a church called One Tribe? Some of you sitting here were saved at One Tribe. Some of you sitting here were baptized. Some of you were filled with the Spirit. What about those who haven't got that yet? That is why we exist. And that's why we're moving to two meetings. So we're kind of full in the hall. We're very full in terms of the parking, probably over full. And we want to create space for more people. We want to embrace the scattering of God in our hearts and not evade it at all costs. Step number one is we need to break camp. There's signs. Seating's a challenge. Parking is a challenge. One of the biggest signs for me is that, friends, as I look around to multiply gospel-centered, spirit-empowered missional churches in Nairobi and beyond, we need gospel-centered, spirit-empowered missional leaders. And when I look across One Tribe, I see an army of leaders waiting to be released. And with this multiplying to two meetings, it's the first step towards multiplying gospel-centered, spirit-empowered missional churches everywhere. But we create opportunities for people to lead who maybe haven't led before. But we also create an opportunity for people to serve. Why would you want to create create opportunities for people to serve? Because the Bible says that we are God's workmanship, prepared in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for you to do. And one of those works is discovering your gifts in the context of the local church and using them to build up the church. Number one, break camp. Number two, Advance. Say Advance. Happens to be the name for our family of churches. Do you see the spirit of Babel right there? It's even in the same language, and he's not happy with the way I say it. Well, I love you guys, regardless of your mocking during my sermon. God bless you. Son of encouragement. It is pronounced advance. Step one, break camp. Step two is advance. It means move forward. We are a people called to advance by multiplying. I've shown you in Genesis, God saying, lift up your eyes. The descendants of faith will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, if you could count them. It's the story of Genesis. It's reiterated again in Acts. I just want to soak us in these verses because the atmosphere of these verses should be the atmosphere of our hearts and the atmosphere of the church. Acts 2:47 says, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. God, would you do that? Acts 4, verse 4, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. And friends, whether it's 5,000 or 50,000, that's not the issue. The issue is, are we on God's mission and trusting Him for multiplication? The book of Acts. Acts 5, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Acts 6, the number of disciples was increasing. Acts 6, verse 7, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Often when I'm preaching, song words come to mind, but it depends on how old you are and so on, but there was a really cool artist died recently by the name of Carmen. Did anyone like Carmen when you were younger? You know him, but you didn't like him. But he said, we are marching and moving onward and upward. The kingdom of God is on a forceful advance. Now, I want you to get this. I love Bruno's word. Sometimes people can think, hey, are you on God's mission? Meaning, have you got your suitcase? Find an aeroplane. Now I am on mission. No. God's plan A for mission on planet Earth is in the church and through the church. I'm not saying other things are bad. I am saying, when you look in the Bible, mission is church growing, multiplying. Those churches growing, multiplying. That is God's mission. What are the implications of that? If you are plugged into and pouring your life into the local church, You are as on mission as someone who has gone to Nigeria to translate Bibles into a foreign language. That is why we take this so seriously. You don't go to Nigeria and translate into a foreign language as a hobby or in your spare time. You don't go to Ecuador to share the gospel like a holiday activity. We'll do some surfing, share the gospel to some unreached people groups, and we'll see how it goes. No, you don't do that. And friends, I don't mean to bust your bubble, but church was never meant to be a hobby. It was always made to be something we give our lives to. The Bible says Jesus died and gave himself for the church. And so at One Tribe, we'll have to use the language of the chicken and the pig. Have you heard the story of the chicken and the pig? No? I'm going to tell it to you, don't worry. The story is told of the chicken and the pig. They were best of friends. And they grew up under the loving care of a farmer who took, he was just such a blessing to them. And so one day, chicken and pig get together and they say, we've always been receiving from this farmer. We want to give back to this farmer. Let's brainstorm and come up with a plan. So they brainstorm, they come up with a plan, and the plan, they say, they decide, is pig says to chicken, chicken, we're going to give the farmer breakfast in bed. Chicken says, okay, well, we can do some more planning. We'll come, you know, we'll get together tomorrow. We still got time. Comes back tomorrow. And they've both realized that they don't have a cent between them. So they say, well, we'll give it another couple of days to think about it. They come back after a couple of days, and Chicken says, Pig, I figured it out. We're going to make the farmer the best breakfast in bed ever. And you, my friend, will be the bacon, and I will provide the eggs. As Christians, so many of us say we're going to be on Jesus' mission to the ends of the earth. I've got a few eggs to provide. I'm hoping someone else will provide the bacon. And that's the difference between participation, involvement, and commitment. And part of advancing is advancing from visitor to regular attender. That's a step in the right direction. It's advancing from regular attender to actually, I'm serving with my gifts. Advancing is moving from, hey, I've got some eggs to give, to, I want to pour my life into this, if Jesus poured his life into this. Friends, it's time to break camp and advance. And God will speak to you about what that means for you as an individual. And number three, break camp, advance. And number three is take possession. He says, go. Where you go, I have given you the land. He said to Joshua, everywhere that you place your feet, I have given to you. And friends, as we step out into the future together, I know there's loads of questions. We're going to send out a survey during the week. We'd love to get some of your feedback, get your perspective on some things like meeting times and so on. But as we do that, we're stepping out, and we're stepping out onto the promises of God. They stepped out and they were on physical land, Canaanites, Amorites, foothills. We're stepping out and we are on spiritual land, if you like. God said, everywhere we go, he has given to us. God said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. God said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Friends, we're called to walk on the promises of God together. And we're inviting you to walk with us. I'm going to pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for stories like Babel that can kind of live inside of us and we can live inside of them. Thank you for speaking to us through the time of worship. Thank you for what's going on with men's events and women's events and for opportunities to give to those who have less than we do. And God, right now in your presence, we want to commit ourselves afresh to what you have called us to. God, you have called us to be a missional, multiplying people. We want to step out in obedience to your commission on your church. God, I thank you that for every person who can hear the sound of my voice, there are practical steps that we can take. God, I pray that this would not be a earth up to heaven thing, but God, we thank you that your word has come from heaven. It's so clear to us in Scripture. And I pray that empowerment would flow from heaven to earth. God, I pray that you would teach us to serve. I pray that folk who perhaps haven't engaged their gifts to be a part of what you're doing here, God, I pray that you would speak to them. God, I pray for those who have the gift of leadership or the ability to lead. God, I pray that you'd raise up an army of leaders. God, I pray that we'd be a generous church. Advance, it takes giving and it takes sacrifice. God, I pray that you'd help us to engage with that joyfully. And God, I pray that the heartbeat of this, and though we so need your help, I pray that the heartbeat of this wouldn't be a tower that reaches to heaven. It wouldn't be building a name that's anything apart from the name of Jesus. I pray that it wouldn't see us clutching for security, but God, I pray that by your Spirit, we'd be a people who in a new and deeper way find our security in you plus nothing. I pray that we'd be a people who make your name famous in this city. And I pray that we'd be a people who see heaven come to earth, who see your kingdom come on earth in Nairobi and beyond as it is in heaven. And all God's people said, Amen.